Hey, welcome to the Radioactive Podcast. I'm Patrick, and I'm a senior at Redmond High.
And I'm Maya, a senior from Ballard High School. Radioactive is a program where youth come together and produce great radio at KUOW Public Radio in Seattle.
God, I can't believe we're only a few months away from going to college. It's kind of scary.
Right?
Have you gotten any college decisions back yet?
Let me put it this way. Yes, I've been accepted to the colleges I applied to, but the way I found out about it was a very disappointing moment.
Oh, why's that?
Well, I always imagined opening an acceptance letter in front of my whole family and having it be all suspenseful kind of feel. But instead of that traditional way of doing things, nowadays you receive acceptance emails on the computer. So I was just bored and looking through my emails, and out of nowhere I found an email from one of the colleges saying, "Congratulations!" Which totally spoiled the surprise. Like, instead of this amazing feeling, I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah, I see what you mean. But I think that's just the way things are these days. I remember hearing adults talk about how we've given up some level of personality, intimateness maybe, in exchange for technology and ease of access. And letters are kind of a nostalgic thing now.
Wait, what's nostalgia? Oh, you mean like when people say, back in my day, like that thing that old people say?
Well, I think people our age can relate to the feeling of nostalgia more than adults might think, which is why you and I are exploring the idea of nostalgia today on the Radioactive Podcast.
Wait, I still don't understand what nostalgia really is.
Oh, well, you're probably not alone. To get some other young perspectives on this topic, we talked to some fellow seniors at Redmond and Ballard High about their understanding of nostalgia.
Nostalgia? I have no idea what it is.
I think it's different for everyone. Like,
kind of reminiscing on a way that something used to be.
Oh, like that throwback feeling that you look for.
A sound or a smell or something I see will remind me of a time when I was younger, or just really great experiences that I've had in the past.
I think a lot of the time it's nostalgia is a realization of letting go of things, and it does require adjustment, which sometimes is not necessarily what I want to do, but might be what ultimately I do need to do.
Most of the seniors seem to know what it is. Even if they don't know the word, they at least know what it feels like to be nostalgic.
Yeah, they explain it pretty well. Basically, nostalgia is a bittersweet emotion that overwhelms us with this feeling of fondness, but also reminds us of something we've lost and can't get back. And it's especially strong when we're dealing with a lot of change, like between high school and college, and between childhood and adulthood.
We also had some fun trying to make them feel nostalgic by having them listen to our childhood songs.
I'm trying to remember the Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, but I forget what it sounds like.
It's like, this is the sweet life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a missing piece inside of me.
I don't know what key you're like. I didn't know what you were singing.
There's a missing piece inside of me.
It's really fun to reminisce. Nostalgia is such a universal feeling, but we didn't always understand it so well. Did you know that people used to think it was a mental illness?
Wait, why would they think that?
The word nostalgia was first used in 1688 by Johannes Hofer, who called it a mental illness. He built the word using the Greek roots nostos, meaning to return home, and agos, meaning pain. He observed that people who left their home, especially emigrants, students studying abroad, and soldiers, sometimes became crippled by a sense of longing, especially when they encountered songs or smells that reminded them of fond memories.
Oh, cool. Thanks for the history lesson, Patrick.
No, listen. I promise, the psychology of nostalgia is pretty interesting. Here, I'll let my former psychology teacher, Mr. Villeneuve, explain what triggers nostalgia.
Memories are triggered by similar emotions or events or whatever. We have a direct link to our memory via smell. So if you smell a fresh cut evergreen tree, you might think of a particular Christmas that was meaningful, or a pumpkin pie and a Thanksgiving, or whatever the case might be. But the stronger the emotion attached, the easier it is to retrieve memory.
I can totally relate to that. Like, whenever I smell hand sanitizer, I think back to elementary school. Even though I hate the smell of hand sanitizer, I still get that warm kid feeling where nothing else matters in the world. It's just me living life.
Yeah, I know that feeling. That's one of nostalgia's benefits. Nostalgia can also help us feel less lonely, less anxious, more empathetic, and even physically warmer. It's supposed to help us when we feel doubtful about ourselves, by helping us believe that our lives are more meaningful.
Yeah, like it kind of gives us a sense of hope, and it reminds us that life is good, which makes us feel more secure as we think about the future.
But like everything psychology-related, nostalgia is different for everyone.
It depends on how we grew up differently and how we are right now. When we talked with the seniors from our schools, they had mixed feelings about how nostalgia affects them.
I don't know. Nostalgia a lot of the time for me is sad because I just miss how things used to be.
Sitting around and talking with people about your childhood can bring back so much nostalgia, and it's just really, really fun. I think it's a good thing to like reminisce on.
Looking back on it now with so much more experience and knowledge of the world, it kind of amazes me how innocent I was, I guess.
You don't really know about the like bad things in the world and all the like sadness.
When you're a kid, it's like if somebody judges you for something, you're mad in the moment and then you forget about it the next day. It's like now that I'm like 18, it's like I sort of like try to brush it off, but it still like stings.
But anything that's kind of distant that I still remember, I normally only remember the highlights and not really the hardships, I guess you could say. I'd forgotten, I think, a lot of the things that made it not as desirable when I was living through it.
Lucy brings up a good point here. Perhaps the reason why nostalgia can be so painful is that we over-romanticize our pleasant memories and end up thinking our past is way better than our present. The older our memories get, the more they can mislead us. Mr. Villeneuve can explain this further.
And our memory is very fluid. So you remember something, and then if you tell the story, it might not be completely accurate, and you might add or subtract details, and that continues on over time. Remembering the good old days is altered from reality in some way, shape, or form. Normally, a positive memory is embellished even more, and that's why there's such a fondness, because they think that they remember everything 100%, but they don't, but they've added the details to make themselves, you know, feel really good about it, so.
That is so true. I've definitely witnessed people doing this, like remembering only those positive feelings and sort of like brushing off the negative feelings, so they end up living in the past. My math teacher, Mr. Schmidt, says,
Nostalgia is good for people to remember times in their lives that they really enjoyed. But as I said, it can go too far. You can believe that the only time you ever enjoyed yourself was back then, rather than having the potential to enjoy yourself right now. So you can get caught trying to relive the past, and that's a mistake. But nostalgia is healthy, and it's a good feeling, but you can't mistake it for the way things should be. It's how they were, and you need to, you know, live in the present.
Actually, along these lines, someone recently told me about his college graduation experience, and he said he was really confused when his friends called college the best years of their lives. And he was like, what? I hope not. Did they forget all the pain and stress that happened? Instead, he told me that he tries to go into each new year hoping that it's his best year.
That's a good way of thinking. There's no way to go back to the past, so even though nostalgia can help us deal with our present and future problems, it's important not to get stuck in the past and over-romanticize it and forget our old problems.
Exactly. And that's what I learned from my conversation with Mr. Notaboom, my U.S. government teacher. Here's what he has to say about nostalgia.
I mean, once you've learned something different, once you've figured out a way to do something or society has embraced a different way of approaching it, you can't go back and change it. I think what you and I talked about before was, when I was a kid, I could get on my bike, I could pedal all over the place, just like out of Stranger Things, and you know, I would be gone all day and I'd say to my mom, what time's dinner? Dinner's around 6:30, okay, be back around then. And it was this wonderful time when you could bike everywhere and no one was selling drugs and children always came home on time and no one worried. And that just isn't true. I mean, if my mom had had a cell phone and I had a cell phone, she would have been on it all the time. We didn't have the type of news reporting that we do today that talked about things like, you know, kids being put in really horrible situations. There were drugs all over the place. We just didn't talk about them, I think, as probably as honestly as we do now, and we certainly didn't talk about issues like recovery. So in this gauzy, innocent way of thinking about a past, it sounds really nice, but would you want to go back to a time period where if I'm in trouble, I don't have a cell phone? Would I want to not know how to help someone who has a drug addiction because it's the kind of thing we just shouldn't talk about? No. No, I wouldn't. So I think nostalgia paints the past in a way that makes it seem a lot more pleasurable than probably at the time you thought it was.
You'd think that the older you get, the more nostalgic you become. But psychologists have found that nostalgia levels tend to be highest in the elderly and, weirdly, among young adults.
And that's because nostalgia tends to happen during big transitions. Like for us, that's a transition from high school to college, or wherever you're going. So how do seniors feel about this change?
I'm really excited to go to college. I've been looking forward to it for a while. I'm also a little nervous because it's going to be like the first time I'm leaving my family.
It's a weird time. I also just kind of want to leave high school so I can get on to college and then get on with my real job. So,
you know, seeing that there's only like a couple more months of sort of the rest of my childhood or this stage in my life, you'd think you'd be thinking more of the path of the past, but I guess it just hasn't hit yet.
You know, to be completely honest, I'm actually very scared. I'm 18. I'm, you know, technically an adult now, and I just it's a lot of responsibility that I don't know if I'm ready for, but I will have to undertake.
Oh my goodness, Patrick! I just turned 18.
Oh yeah, how do you feel about it?
Well, the age itself I could care less about. It's just the fact that I need to think more about my future, and I keep thinking about how people grow apart, whether they want to or not. Like, nostalgia is really weighing on me at this point in my life. Actually, while I was interviewing my friend, I remembered this bucket list we had made back in middle school. Our list was in the shape of a treasure map with the typical red pathway eventually leading to the X that marks the spot, which in our case marked our deaths. We thought we'd die together and haunt people together, along with our future spouses. We were so sure of our future. We just imagined we'd stay with each other until we turned old and gray. But in reality, we never made it to the X. That recording was actually the first time in a long time that I had really talked with her.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Are you happy with where your life is headed, though?
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Of course I'm happy now, and confused, and sad, and full of mixed emotions. But I don't know where my life is headed. Like, I guess for now, I'm just focusing on both the past and the present, because I tend to hold on to the little memories as I kind of like wing it in the long run. I guess I'm pretty afraid and unsure right now. Like, not to be all sad and stuff, but it's just weird to think about, you know? So how are you feeling about all these changes?
Well, people have told me that college is neither childhood nor adulthood, and I hope they're right. On one hand, I'm excited to see more of the world. On the other hand, I'm kind of intimidated. There's this old Peanuts comic that captures my understanding of childhood pretty well, where Charlie Brown says, "Security is sleeping in the back seat of the car." I'm a little scared to take the reins now, knowing I'll lose part of that emotional, physical safety net. I lived in the same house for as long as I can remember, and I have lots of old stuffed animals and favorite movies and books lying around, and we've used the same decorations year after year, and I mean, I wonder what it'll be like not seeing those in my dorm, and not being able to walk 5 feet from my desk to confer with my parents about some news update. So I'm pretty sure when I get to college, nostalgia's gonna hit like a truck. But for now, I'm pretty content waiting for my college decisions, doing a couple projects, and enjoying my last half year of being 17.
See, I don't even want to think about that now. I'm going to come home and see my house decorated during the holidays. Same old, same old.
Yeah, I plan on doing the same. Anyway, it's good to know that with the right mindset, nostalgia, as inevitable as it is, can give us hope and help us in dealing with the future. And it's also good to know that we should deal with nostalgia carefully to avoid getting stuck in the past.
Yeah, but you know how people say, life's too short, gotta make the most of it? I think people are forgetting that life is the longest thing we've got, and that at times it's okay to feel all these mixed emotions.
So to round off our discussion, here's a really heartfelt story Mr. Notaboom told me about his son recently going off to college. Enjoy.
You know, it's really funny. My son Mark has just moved out a couple weeks ago. He's 19. He's going to Shoreline Community College. On the day that he moved, I was pretty cool with it. My wife had a couple of moments where she needed to kind of, you know, get behind a closed door and let some emotions out, because we didn't want to do that in front of him, because we didn't want him to feel guilty. And so we moved him out on a Friday. On the Saturday afterward, Marcus came home to pick up a box. And we, you know, talked for a little bit, and he got this box with pictures, and here's my 6'6" son kind of clomping down the stairs outside the front door, and I'm watching from inside the house, and all I could suddenly see in my mind is his little 8-year-old self going off to Camp Orkyla for an entire week, where he had done years ago, and I just lost it. You know, he's never going to be my little boy again. I'm never going to read him Harry Potter. We're never going to build with Legos. When a kid is little, they'll come home and they'll tell their parents everything. And now he's a young man and he's off on his own, and I'm never going to hear those things. And then I went to the fridge, and there was the yogurt that I liked, because he was no longer going to steal it from me when he ate it. And the laundry was a lot easier to do because there wasn't as much from all of his sweaty workout clothes. And when I got home, the TV wasn't automatically set to the MLB Network. And we were talking on the phone last night, and he just got a job in Shoreline. And so here's my 19-year-old young man. The whole reason why we raised him was so he could be on his own, and he could be independent, and he could be confident. And yeah, I do miss that little boy. I miss the weight of him on my shoulder. I miss, you know, reading Harry Potter to him and him saying, you know, come on, Dad, just one more page. And I am never going to get that back. But man, I wouldn't trade a single moment of that for him being a young man who's confident enough to be on his own and try to figure himself out and take some risks so that he can be independent. And so I think you just kind of have to keep going forward, because life is change. And you can't move forward without letting go of something. And I think that's where nostalgia comes in.
Thank you for listening to this week's Radioactive podcast. Thank you to our interviewees from Broward High: Carla Torres, Cameron Miles, Mackenzie Blaney, Asher Simpson, Todd Vicencio, Joe Schmidt, Chris Valerdi, Oscar Zahner, and Zane Rupp.
And from Redmond High, thank you to Lucy Jiang, Sophia Huang, Rohan Manduri, Dennis Villeneuve, and Robert Nodeboom.
Also, huge thanks to all the people who made this podcast possible: our editor, Jenny Asarno, and our podcast mentor, Ahlam Ibrahim.
As well as to the other Radioactive program heads, Mary Heisey and Lila Katayev. And our community engagement teammate, Zaytoun Ahmed.
And thanks to the other Radioactive advanced producers, as well as all of you, our listeners.
This concludes our current mini-season of the Radioactive podcast. But we're coming right back this May with a series of feature stories from our Radioactive Advanced producers. Thank you so much for listening to the season. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our work, so go ahead and leave a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to track us down on social media. You can find us on Facebook as Radioactive Youth Media, and we're KUW Radioactive, one word, on Twitter and Instagram. Tweet at us and let us know what makes you nostalgic.
I'm Maya Kanz.
And I'm Patrick Liu. This has been the Radioactive Podcast.